Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082. Do you like Sheffield Live? Why not become a friend of Sheffield Live? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and friends of Sheffield Live are people in the community who make a regular donation to keep Sheffield Live on the air. Join the Friends of Sheffield Live by writing to friends@sheffieldlive.org or go online to sheffieldlive.org.
Yeah, this is the poet Benjamin Zephaniah coming down your radio wire, and you are listening to Sheffield Live on 93.2 FM, my friend.
Hi, I'm Eddie Grant, and you're listening to Sheffield Live, 93.2 FM.
1212, how's it going? This is Shlomo, you're listening to Sheffield Live.
Yeah, welcome to Sheffield Live. This is a sweet talking sport. Yeah. Straight to the point chat show that deals with the latest sports news and stories with both interviews and joining an audience that fit today's modern day society. This show is devoted entirely to discussion on sported events, whether that be near or whether that be far. A good to go on air-style expansive debate and analysed by myself and sometimes G and sometimes CV, but we don't know where them there. This is the regular programming, probably Yorkshire's best talking sports show, radio chat show you'll ever hear. You can listen to the show live every Friday between 6 and 7, or listen to, the archives. Yeah, you know, I tell you what, you know, I'm going to start off with a further ado. I hope nobody's listening. And I'm just going to give people a little chance just to, deactivate if they don't want to listen. You get a few seconds for that. See it there? I've just done it. So, you know, just unlock. Come back or jump straight in now. You know, this is a private, you know, through the big people them. So, Tour de France, or as it will be known, Tour de Femme, you know. And even though femme means women in French, it's actually got an E in it, but you pronounce it as femme. Just remember that, because we don't want people to be kind of disrespectful when it lick. I believe it's going to be in Yorkshire, July 2027. So you've got a bit of time to prepare. But I remember the last time it was here, over a decade ago, maybe something like 2014 or something like that, yeah? But yeah, it's been a while since we've seen the kind of like different coloured bikes in Yorkshire, races doing their thing. This time, like I said, it's the turn of the women who will be at the start in Leeds for the Prestige Tour de France, you know, Grand Departure 2027, like I said, and we'll finish the second stage of the race, right, Yasso, in Steel City, in Otley, at the cycling club where the British world champion Lizzie is based. She began racing her career there and announced, you know, that it's been a big boost. It will encourage Wullipa women and girls to try the sports. And, you know, when you have things in your hometown or your city, it does play a part in that. So no doubt, after July 2027, you'll see the sale of bikes. Maybe they'll be discounted. Maybe there'll be a big boom in them, you know. 2014, you know, millions of people turned out by the roadsides to support the male riders as it was then. And I hope millions of people then will turn out to support the femmes, you know. You can get anything like those numbers of women races. That's going to be a huge boost for the women and girls looking to stay and start cycling. For women cyclists, there's still a huge discrepancy between what's shown and what's accessible for men when accessible for women. Club members said that the fact that a female cyclist who competes at the very highest level were coming to Yorkshire for the start of the race in July, like I said, 2027, reinforces the growing momentum of the sports across the county. So Sheffield will stage the final as Tour de France returns to the Yorkshire cities. So the women's cycle stage 2 will be sponsored by the virtual cycling performance Zwift. They are aiming to bring a premier event to the global stage alongside the men's Tour de France. It's on for what? Times 6 days of racing or cycling. The women, the Tour de France, Tour de Femmes, the cities that it will lick. It will be in Leeds, Manchester, Sheffield, and also including a spell also in London. The men's, now they'll be starting their race across these shores in Edinburgh, then Carlisle, Keswick. I don't know if anybody's been there, but why, the mint cake is delish. You know, it's kind of like a dark chocolatey with like a mint. And if it's been in the fridge, it's even more delish, you know. Anyway, enough for that. Liverpool, Welshpool, Cardiff will also get some of the action too. But Sheffield have confirmed as a, like I said, the finishing location for the stage 2 of Tour de Femmes, Swift plus 2027 could find a price for that, you know. So basically, like I said, I thought to myself, I wonder how much this is going to cost the city. But you know, until now, couldn't find nothing. So I don't know why it was so hard to dig up that and, you know, do a little bit of research on that. But in Scotland, hear this now, it's going to cost Scotland 9.25 million squids to manage that race. The UK government, in conjunction with local partners, whoever they are, in England and Wales, will provide 32 million squids. So, Tommy, what do you think? Just like that. Yeah. You know? So, you know, Tommy's kind of like saying how much the policing costs and this, that, and the other. You know which Tommy had to talk about, innit? You know what I mean? So, let's see who spills over with that. the 32 million costs of the UK government to host this. No doubt they'll get some lolly back somewhere, kind of like along the lines. But, you know, everything, like I said, come as a cost. You know, on this show, we're never afraid to tackle various subjects on this show. But, you know, I guess when that comes, 2027, if I'm around, I think it'll be good to get a look at that. And like I said, the race in Yorkshire for the women, that's what we're concerned with. You know, that they'll get on their bikes in Leeds, Manchester, Sheffield's on the list, and also London too, to be included. And the men's, they'll be on their bike in Edinburgh, Carlisle, Keswick, Liverpool, Welshpool, and also Cardiff. And that will be staged in 2027. Gonna kind of move on nicely to rugby. I'm gonna talk about the New Zealand, who sacked their coach Robinson. And you know, it's like you don't really kind of associate New Zealand or the All Blacks of sacking their coach, because they're the pinnacle of rugby teams, you know, the Internash, you know. I think some people had conflicting views about this, but the former captain said that the coach reign had to come to an end after 2 years in, you know, in the top job, following a less favourable internal interview. So I gather that some people must have thought, you know what, I'm not so sure about Robinson. Do we keep him? Do we let him go? They said it kind of took a while. That's the NZR, the New Zealand Rugby chairman, David Keir. Yeah, name him, yes. David Kirk, sorry. Said they took a wide range of opinions before making the decision. Well, I don't know who him ask, but, you know, Robinson was, you know, not in favour. And hear this, yeah. 27 matches Robinson was involved in, which is a lot, over a 2 year span. 20 victories, only 7 defeats. So for those who are doing the maths about the win ratio, it's 47%. I've saved you some time there. Hear this now. For Robinson, it's the third highest, I'm going to say that again, the third highest of any men's top tier. Yeah? But yet, it's still got a negative feedback review, you know? And I thought that's a shame, that to have the third highest. I mean, it probably just shows that, you know, nobody is invincible. So next time the All Blacks are out, just imagine who moved them on. 74 win percent wasn't enough for Robinson to secure his job. And David say him did speak to people. You got people's opinion from a wide range, I saw him say, before making a decision. Now, obviously, he must have gone to unanimous, you know, to move on and change ways. I get it with coaches and players. You know, I've been there myself as a manager, never been sacked, though. And definitely won more games than we lost. But I think, you know, as players, you learn so much from coaches and managers. And I suppose that, you know, you get used to your manager's team briefings, team speeches, you know, instructions, you know, the halftime chats or after full time or prepping. You know what I mean? you know, at some point, and this is only my opinion, at some point, you must get, you know, not a little bit fed up. That's probably not the right phrase. Sometimes the manager might get a little bit stale, you know, in his attitude, you know, about, you know, what he wants, what the expectation of him, the club, is. Do you know what I mean? There might be some players thinking, do you know what? I've heard this before. Don't want to hear it again. Do you know what I mean? And they lose their bite, their appetite for success. And then you've got players who have big presence in the dressing room. What can sway chairman, they can sway people at the top. They can tilt them head, you know what I mean? One way or another. And said, boy, you know, this guy's lost the dressing room, you know. I don't think that was the case with Scott Robinson. But couple of years, I always say that a manager, right, whether it's maybe rugby or football, you know, 18 months, you know, yeah, you get the exceptions, Pep, exception, Ferguson, exception, you know. But then you get certain people from certain backgrounds who don't really get a chance, you know what I mean, at that kind of level, you know. So Campbell, where was he? Macclesfield, something like that, innit? Do you know what I mean? Ince. Although Ince has been in the big time, how long did he stay there? Do you know what I mean? You know? It was only last week when I spoke about certain managers, you know, not really being given a chance. And we'll come on to Liam Rossino a little bit later on as well, because I got a little bit of update on him as well. I don't think he's doing himself any favours by answering all the questions. I think he needs to be a little bit coy, really, when he deals with that. But we're gonna leave off from Scott Robinson, ease off from him. I think he's done a good tenor there anyway. Do you know what I mean? And you know, I think he was, like to think that he was kind of like well respected. You know what I mean? As a coach, Robinson 51. He initially replaced Ian Foster after the World Cup back in what, 23, and led the All Blacks to 10 wins out of 13 at the time. But the former Canterbury Crusader coach came under pressure following an away defeat by Argentina. Yeah, they got hammered by the Argentines, 43-10. Lost to Argentina, 43-10 loss to South Africa at the championships in Wellington. There also been reports of tension between senior players and the All Black staff, right? And after the dismal followers of internal reviews. So this is what I'm saying about players who have got big presence. You know what I mean? They can stir things up if they've got a big mouth type of stuff. You know what I mean? Or they're not just physical presence, but influential behind the scenes. Then I suppose, you know, the head coach or the manager hasn't really got a chance, especially if results go down, especially after hammering 43-10. You know, if you're losing that, you know, but I think you've got to also look at the players after that defeat, 43-10. Could they look themselves in the mirror? Could they honestly say, do you know what, we left everything out there, 43-10? I don't think so. You know, Robinson said he's incredibly proud of what his team have achieved. What, 43-10? Kicks in with that one. And the progress the team have made. Yeah, I think he's made good progress. I think he's brought them on. We have brought through a talented group of young players, strengthened the depth across the squad, and set solid foundations for years ahead. Well, it's a case of the All Blacks reset, and then can they kick off from there and go again? Also, I mean, the All Blacks were also beaten for only the 9th time in their 120th year rivalry with England, who claimed that victory 33-19. New Zealand Rugby said their process of finding a replacement for Robinson was contracted to the end of 2027. World Cup in Australia will start immediately. The chair of the governing body, Derek Kirk, thanked Robinson. Yeah, thank you very much. Done a great job, but we don't want you. I'm not saying it went like that, but, you know, you didn't get a box of chocolates. Contribution to the team, adding, as always, he has continued to put the All Blacks first, and we respect that. Yeah, respect it, but it's on his way. You know, said he's done the hard thing in agreeing to depart. Well, if things have been happening behind the scenes, if things have been said, if players have got big presence, like I said, if David Kirk, yeah, said that he had a discussion with a wide range of people, gathering opinions before making his decision, yeah, was that the hard thing? His passion for the team, and both as a player and a coach, is evidence of his commitment to, you know, and involvement in rugby. Like I said, I think he can leave with his head up high. 20 victories out of 27. I repeat, 47% win ratio, third highest of any man's tier one. Yeah, but it's just a bit of negativity behind the scenes. And like I said, I believe that the players have contributed to his sacking. Enough said. On to American football now. And we may be in the era of, you know, hearing about the first British head coach. He's definitely a contender. Aidan Jurd is usually too focused on his job as a defensive coordinator of the Seattle Seahawks to think about the significance of his journey. Yeah. Like I said, this guy's a British guy. There's never been a British head coach of an American football team yet, but it's going to come. Could this guy be the first? You know, the British coach had one of those moments during the Seattle crucial game at San Francisco 12 days ago. You know, he said that, you know, this is him saying that. He knows it sounds crazy, but a kind of take little gratitude moments, he was saying. Like last week at the 49ers, the atmosphere was so electric. And to think, and the kind of blows him away. Sometimes it does. The former London Warriors coach watched his Seattle team beat the hosts 13-3 to secure the NF top spot for the playoffs. Two more wins and Jerry will return to Levy Stadium on 8th of February for the Super Bowl, one of the biggest games in the world. Well, you know, wish Aiden all the very best. He could be making history to become the first British American football head coach. You've heard it first on Sweet Talking Sport. Like I said, all the very, very best for Aiden, you know. And like I said, yeah, guy's doing an absolutely wicked job. Yeah. Now, I'm gonna switch attention to I'm gonna switch attention to darts. And I'm not sure if people
I've heard about this youth. I'm telling you, his name, I'm going to come with his name now. The next, yeah, I think that this could be the next Luke Leclerc. And his name is Jack Johnson. Listen to some of this.
Now this guy Johnson, Jack Johnson, only 13, you know. And I'm telling you, if you've got access to the internet, just Google, yeah, the next Luke Leclerc, Jack Johnson, 13. Wicked player. Obviously, you just have to just use your imagination right now, yeah? But 55. I actually watched this game, right? And the Pitney them now are even younger now. You thought Leclerc was bad, yeah? But this guy, Jack Johnson, dangerous. And the guy sort of like played with a smile on his face as well. You know? Listen, just trying to create the atmosphere for you with that. But let me say, Jack Johnson, 13 years of age, JDC Super 16 champion, yeah? Frequently mentioned as a potential future star following in Luke Leclerc's footsteps. Do you know what? I think Jack Johnson will make his own headlines, yeah? I get it about, you know, following the footsteps of Luke Leclerc, because he came on the scene as a young boy too. But, you know, I'm bigging up Jack. I've seen him play, watched him play on YouTube. Even if you're not into darts, just check him out. 13 years of age, phenomenal star in the making. Yeah? And I tell you what, this guy has got a massive future. Yeah, highly rated on this scene, you know. While there, you know, are no single successes, young players like Jack Johnson, yeah, gain attention for their skills, drawing comparison to Luke Leclerc. Rapid rise, yeah, in darts. It's almost like he's putting the youths on the scene. And I think they'll even come younger than him. And to work out what they need as well, obviously improves his maths too. Talented, young, got plenty of time. Now, Luke Leclerc, I spoke about him last week, sponsorship 20 million. I'll tell you what, if Leclerc's got 20 million, this guy's going to top it. Yeah? And where did he hear that first? He's got media attention. Success as a young player often leads to media, you know, seeking out the next big thing, linking them, they're all linking him to, you know, to Luke Leclerc. You know, like I said, 13 years old, JDC Super 16, you know. People might say, why? You know, this guy's on it. I'm telling you, he's more than on it. He'll definitely be a world champion. I said that was going to come to, you know, Liam Rossini. In fact, let me just kind of like finish it off with Little Jack. Yeah, let me just finish things off with Little Jack. Yeah, Irregular beats adults in London Super League and is on the verge of becoming the youngest player to win one of the country's most prestige youth tournaments. If Jack takes the JD Super 16, which he did, he'll be the ever younger than the PDC world champion. Yeah, Luke Lickler, who won it. And that is what you're going to hear and know about Jack. But like I said, you know, even if you're not into darts, just take a Google, just take time out and just watch how this 13-year-old performs. I want to go back into, you know, Liam Rossini. I think for me, I mean, you know, I know people out there have got their own opinions, and that's fine, but I just want you to have a listen to kind of like some of his kind of like press conferences, what he had. And this one was when the Hammered Charlton in the kind of FA Cup last week. I think it was like kind of like a 5-1. But listen to this now.
I was very happy with the attitude of the team, even in the first half. This is not an easy place to come, third round of the FA Cup. I felt our press was very intense and really good. I felt we controlled the game, had created a couple of chances from outside the box. The goal came at a really good time. It was a fantastic finish from Hato. The game opens up second half, and I felt some of the passages of play. We know we have outstanding players. I was able to bring on some outstanding players from the bench. But I have to say, I was delighted with the starting 11. I was delighted with the front three. I felt Ali kept going in his 1v1s. And Mark Giu was magnificent, deserved his goal. Jamie looked like that he was going at the defenders. He looked like he could create in a lot of moments. So a lot of real
take time, Liam, man. You don't have to be so kind of like thorough. You know what I mean? I think that just shows how, you know, a bit of a rookie. Sorry to interrupt, but, you know, listen.
If your fans are happy, it means you're doing a good job. All I'm going to focus on at the moment is working as hard as I possibly can to help this team achieve the potential, the unlimited potential that it has. And if you concentrate and focus on your work, hopefully people will see that we're onto a good thing.
Karis?
Can I just check quickly on the guys who weren't in the squad?
Yeah.
Tyreek George, Reece James, Cole Palmer, and so on. Any injury that we need to be aware of?
Mallow, Cole, and Reece were precautionary today. I don't want to take any risks at this stage of the season. They had minor tweaks or knocks from the Fulham game, and I feel like I've got such a good squad here. I don't need to risk their health at the moment. We have a huge game on Wednesday.
Do you know what? Just there, you know, when they're asking about Cole, you know, the injury and stuff. You know what? You get the experienced managers and that will say, you know, yeah, they're currently out of the squad at the moment, but, you know, I need to check with the physio team and I'll let you know. You know, but Rossini is going into everything.
Our reactions to setbacks, our intensity, nothing technical. These players are outstanding. They've been well coached before me. But I was very happy with the togetherness and the spirit of the group today. I was very happy with the intensity that they run at, winning duels, winning headers, all of the basics, and that's where you get your joy from.
Don?
Leonardo,
your
first back in charge. Obviously, Chelsea got jammed back schedule in January, so you'll have about team kind of depend on that as well. So given that, how pleased were you with maybe some performance of the players who don't always get as much game time as Chelsea's other players, the likes of Hato you mentioned,
Gear was top. His positioning, winning duels, winning headers.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think you get the gif what I'm saying about how, you know, Rossini will kind of like get him everything. You know, it's like, I know when they ask, like, say Wilder about some of his players, like they might ask him about Peck. You know, the guy might say when he's Peck back, and Wilder will say, "I'm not telling you." You know, nobody gives him any kind of like answers, so why should he play that game as well? And this is what I mean about Liam Rossini. Almost like, say, he's too nice with it. You know what I mean? You know? I mean, you know, let's face it, right? He's not going to get a sack for singing too loud in the choir on a Sunday, will he? Do you know what I mean? You know? I just think, like I said, he's just too nice with it. And people will kind of like, almost kind of like, I think they'll see through that, definitely. Some people are saying that it's just a overhyped PE teacher, you know what I mean? Whether you think that's kind of right or wrong, you know, that's your opinion, really. But it went down to Arsenal, didn't he? 3-2 it went down to, and it was a very much different interview what he was saying. Now again, I heard that interview and it was totally different from the Charlton one, when they spanked Charlton 5-1 but went down 3-2 to Chelsea. And what he was saying, he was just saying, well, you know, he's told his players that he will take responsibility for some of them errors. You know, it's not just sort of like based on, you know, one man. You know, it's like the errors are all together type of stuff. And I just think that, you know, should you really be taking all that kind of like, you know, stick for them kind of like individual kind of errors? I don't think so, really, you know. But you know, I think as a young manager, yes, I agree, he's got a lot to learn, and he ain't been in the job, you know, kind of like 2 minutes. But I just think that, you know, you've just got to, you know, be careful what you say, how you say it and stuff, you know. He was saying that, you know, I mean, like, again, you know, about the Chelsea game, I just think that some of them things, when they're asking questions, just too deep in it. It's not his fault, you know, the goalkeeper, lets go through his legs or through his hands. He can't take responsible for that. Do you know what I mean? He might protect his team in public, and he might have a right go at him, you know, in the changing rooms. But you don't have to tell him kind of like every kind of like chapter and verse. You know what I'm saying? You know? I mean, you know, yeah, he's 41. He kind of like, for me, he was like an obvious choice. I kind of stand by what I'm saying. Not be there for 18 months. No way. They asked a few players what they thought about Liam Rossino in charge. That's Chalobah. You know, Chalobah said, yeah, it's a difficult apart, you know, change a manager in mid-season is always going to be difficult, you know, but you have to adapt quickly because the manager's got his style of play compared to the last one. We've got to hit the ground running. You know, he's got a good set of stock there at Chelsea. They've had meetings, a lot of tactical work has been done on the pitch. You know, he explained his background, what he wants. So he said that, you know, his background, gone into probably where he's played and stuff. Obviously, a manager, a coach, they dictate to the players how they want the players to play, how they want them to respond, different formations, what that's going to look like on and off the pitch, in possession, out of possession. You know, the principles also comes into that. You know, it's a big process, you know, and you've got to get the basics right, basically. It's all about getting the basics right to build the foundation. You know, football is something what they're used to, so they know that, like playing, and exactly what he wants. You know, he wants to see Chelsea play. He wants to trust them, trust ourselves, rely on each other, knowing the quality what they have. Rossini's very confident. He knows what he wants. I'm glad he knows what he wants. He's very clear. And you can see the players engaged straight away. Well, you know, if you've got a new boss, or whether that's a head coach or manager, and you can't engage, if you're not showing up, you know, whether that's mentally or physically, if you're not tuned in, then you ain't going to get that starting position. It's as simple as that, you know. And whether that's mentality, that has to be positive, win lose, you know. It needs the right mindset. They're not going to win everything, you know, but he got a reaction from his players in the second half. But at that point, Arsenal was out of sight, you know. They said that sessions are good. I'm going to say that. You're not going to get a player what chats to the media and say the sessions are, they're okay. Do you know what I mean? You know, if a new player, if a new coach comes in, I should say, and the press are on him, and they're saying, what do you think of about your boss, basically? Yeah, they're good, they're hard, makes us work. You ain't going to say, yeah, they're okay, you know, I enjoy it. You're going to have to sound really enthusiastic about it, you know. Yeah, aggressive with the ball. So it's good to work with him. I watch the French league, so I know how good he is. Well, that was at Strasbourg, isn't it? And he wasn't in the top league there, but he got him to the top. Remember, people was against Lionel Messina, saying that he's not going to do anything. They're gonna lose, and they're going to finish bottom. Well, I think it was, what, 3 points off Champions League or something like that. You know. But, yeah, I just think Mr. Liam Rossini, I'm not saying he's out of his depth, but I think he needs to take a leaf or two from some of the other, you know, kind of like well-established coaches, how Klopp would answer, how Pep would answer things. Do you know what I mean? Instead of, you know, giving them everything what they want, well, he's the head coach now, he's the manager now. And he can answer that one. I'm not saying that he has to be, you know, bamboozle them and that with what he wants, but he doesn't have to be kind of like on point with everything. Like I said, I remember when Wilder got asked about Sidi Peck, you know, is he back? You Wilder know? Well, you know, I said nothing. You know what I mean? He just giggled it off, you know what I mean? And I think Rossini can do that as well. Whether he's trying to gain the confidence of people who doubt his ability, no doubt he's got ability, he wouldn't be there in the first place. Do you know what I mean? But yeah, the clock's ticking from him, I'm telling you, you know. Sweet Talking Sport is Friday the 16th. 18:45, 15 minutes left into this show. Gonna jump into the championship now. We'll start at the Valley. Charlton Athletic play there. They host Sheffield United, 3 o'clock kickoff tomorrow. Now, after that that embarrassing performance against Mansfield Town at home last week, I remember CV said to me, or asked me if I was going to the game, said, "Boy, I'm not a badder." And I've seen United operate like that for too long in cup ties. I thought, yeah, there was a lot of changes. I know what Wilder would say. That's the team I put out to win a game of football. Can read that phrase like I'm reading a book about it. You know what I mean? I knew he'd say that. We're telling Mo about that. That's what he'd say. You know what I mean? But yeah, he put out a team to win a game of football. Did they perform? No. Were they embarrassment? Yes. Did they think they could just turn up and steamroll Mansfield? Well, there's nothing wrong with having that attitude, but it's taking that onto the pitch, which they didn't. I think they got steamrolled by Mansfield. We all know about Nigel Clough, what his teams do in the cup. Nigel Clough, he loves a big cup run, you know what I mean? And they were the ones what left it out there. They were the ones what embarrassed the championship side, you know, and good luck with them as well. I think they thoroughly deserved to take the victory, you know. Who would have thought that they would have put four? Could have been more than that. Four past United away from home as well. Do you know what I mean? Totally bang out of order. I'd have had them in the next day, me. Full training session. You know what I mean? 100%. But they've got a chance to put things right. Where are Charlton? I think Charlton about the 19th in the championship, while United are just a little tad in front, 16th. So, you know, I think this is going to be a tight game. And that's only simple because of the reaction from the defeat to Mansfield Town at home. You know, if you're just tuned in listening to Sweet Talking Sport, it's 18:48. We're jumping into the championship and we're talking Charlton v Sheffield United tomorrow at 3 o'clock. I think it's going to be a kind of nervous kind of reaction. It's only got to be a win. It's as simple as that. The things happening behind the scene, Wilder has inquired about Ross Barkley, 32 at Aston Villa. So, you know, looking for a bit of quality, a little bit of experience in that midfield side. I think he also needs legs as well, because you've got Reg Wild in midfield, ex-Palace guy. And you've got Peck, who's injured, or Blaster, not quite up to speed, but got minutes under his belt, you could say. Barkley is also being injured. I think he's coming back from injury now, and 32. So, yeah, I can see where he's going with that, a bit of experience, but, you know, it also needs some young legs. Whether he'll keep Tamari in there, who's doing okay, but he needs to move his game forward a little bit. News of Bamford signing an 18-month contract, another 32-year-old. But at the end of the season, this guy will be leading goal scorer. I know a lot of Blades fans had their doubts about Bamford when he signed. Can he still do it? Nursing an injury and stuff. But don't forget, he was training at Coventry. So his fitness, he just took that to United and said basically it was a no-brainer. Didn't have to dig up anywhere. He's got security for another 18 months. Bamford scores goals too. Another player that United, you know, interested. The name Dan Neil comes up from Sunderland. Dan Neil last season was a regular for Sunderland. Obviously, they've gone into the big time. Players suffer. Some players who are regulars not are necessarily going to be regulars because you have to look at the amount of players that they're actually brought in. So, yeah, a Sheffield United win. I think it has to be a win. They have to get that defeat out of their system from last week. Unacceptable from the Blades. Like I said, I'd have had them back in the next day training for me. So an away win for the Blades. Sheffield Wednesday, they host Pompey, known as Portsmouth at home. Also tomorrow, 3 o'clock kickoff. You know, I think the Owls will register their first league win this season against Pompey. I think it'll be a scrappy game, scrappy affair. I'm not saying that Pompey will be a pushover. Owls are -7 at the moment. So it won't change. You know, they'll still be bottom of the league, still propping up the championship table. But Pompey do need the points too as well. If they're going to get a bit of breathing space from the bottom three, because you've got Oxford United on 22, Norwich 24 points, Norwich City, you know. Could you imagine Norwich City in League One? I can't, but it's possible. Can you imagine Sheffield Wednesday in League One? Yeah, I can. And Portsmouth on 25 points as well. So, yeah, unfortunately, yeah, I do believe Wednesday will get their first win. And they've also kind of been a little bit busy in the transfer market. They've gone to Man City. They've nicked one of their youngsters in Jaden Heskey, which is the son of Emmanuel Heskey. So that's kind of like an interesting move. So this is Jaden's first taste of men's football. And it's going to start at Hillsborough. Now, I know a guy who works at Hillsborough Medical Centre, and he told me that Jaden did his medical there. I'm saying, get out of it. You know, I don't believe it. He says, no, I'm telling you, Jaden came here. He said he's come for a medical and he's going to play for Sheffield Wednesday if he passes. So, I mean, my mate's a big Sheffield Wednesday fan. And I said, so, what, you know, tell me what took part in this medical, you know, come on. He said, I can't tell you that. It's you know, I'm swore to the club, you know what I mean? I shouldn't even really be telling me. I said, come on, we're mates, you know what I mean? So he said, okay. He said, they asked him a few questions, and if he answered the questions correctly, then he would pass him on the medical side. So I said, you know, come on, what were the questions? He said, okay. He said, don't tell anybody. I said, listen, it stays right here, yeah? He said to Jaden, what's the quickest route from Manchester to Sheffield? Yeah, Jaden, no? Yeah, man, that's easy, man. A57, 1 hour, 28 minutes. He said, yo, that's one answer, man. Yeah. He said, listen. He said, you know, if you answer this correctly, you're on a roll. He said, come on. I just want to pass my medical. He said, okay. Where do you want to play? Yeah, Jaden, no? Chuck, that answer's easy, man. I want to play up front. I want to be dangerous in the final third. Yeah? So he said, yeah, man. He said, just one more then, right? He said, if you answer this, you'll be playing for Sheffield Wednesday and you might make your debut, right? This weekend, right? He said, what do you bring? You're jaded, no? He said, I bring an apple in it for Henrik. Oh, Jesus, peace. You know what I mean? I bring an apple for Henrik. Yeah. Anyway, I was playing FC 26 the other day and got offered a job at a struggling team. The team was obviously Wednesday. I declined the offer and put on four and stuff and played the game again. Hey! Just kicks up other people there. Yeah. Yes, Captain, well that. You know what I mean? So, yeah, Sheffield Wednesday, they are entertaining. Who are Wednesday playing? Portsmouth, like I said. And I'm saying that Wednesday, yeah, you heard me right, Wednesday will get their first win at Hillsborough this season. I think the very least is that they hold their fans a draw, you know. The very least, Wednesday will get a point. But I just, for some reason, I don't think they'll lose. So I think that they'll get a point. I think Jaden, you know, scores on his debut, you know. And if captain, if you go into that match, yeah, watch Jaden hand over another apple to Henrik. You know what I mean? Yeah, this is Sweet Talking Sport. It's 18:57. Just having a little bit of fun at the end there. You know what I mean? But that's what it's about. But I hope that I've made your evening. You know? Just going to play you out. All this. Heavy D up in the limousine, hanging pictures on my wall. Every Saturday, rap attack, Mr. Magic, Molly Mall. I let my tape rock till my tape pop. Smoking weed and bamboo, sipping on private stock. Way back when I had the red and black lumberjack with the hat to match. Remember rapping Duke? Da ha, da ha. You never thought that hip hop would take it this far. Now I'm in the line. Yeah, tuna. You don't get this on any other sports show. This is where it's at. Sweet Talking Sport. Be back next week. I'm blowing up like you thought I would. Call a crib, same number, same hood. It's all good. And if you don't know, now you know, you know, you know. I made the change from a common thief to up close and personal with Robin Leach. Yeah. And I'm far from cheap. I smoke skunk with my peeps all day. Spread love, it's the Brooklyn way. The Moet and Alizé keep me pissy. Girls used to diss me. Now they write letters cause they miss me. I never thought it could happen, this rapping stuff. I was too used to packing ice and stuff. Now honeys play me close like butter play toast. From the Mississippi down to the East Coast. Condos in Queens, in dough for weeks. Sold out seats to hear Biggie Small speak. Living life without fear. Putting 5 carrots in my baby girl ear. Lunches, brunches, interviews by the fool. Considered a fool cause I dropped out of high school. Stereotypes of a black male misunderstood. And it's still all good, And if you don't know, now you know. You know, you know. Sega Genesis, when I was dead broke, man, I couldn't picture this. 50-inch screen, money green, leather sofa. Got 2 rides, a limousine with the chauffeur. Gold bill about 2 G's flat. No need to worry, my accountant had his back. And my whole crew is lounging. Celebrating every day, no more public housing. Thinking back on my one-room shack. Now my mom pimps a act with minks on her back.
and she loves to show me off, of course. Smiles every time my face is up in the sauce. We used to fuss when the landlord dissed us. No heat, wonder why Christmas missed us. Birthdays was the worst days. Now we sip champagne when we thirsty. Damn right, I